Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there is a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink. Hey everyone, we are back with a compilation episode. This week I'm going to highlight some of the musicians that have been on the show who actually have something out there that you can buy. This is a time where every little cent counts for our favorite bartenders, and since these guys have an option, I figured that I would let you know or remind you about the bands that they are in or were in and that you can purchase, so a couple extra pennies go into their pockets. So we'll have information here and again over on the Facebook page when we're done. I'm going to start today with Mr. Justin Oliver, who started off at Smuggler's Cove in San Francisco and is currently in charge of the bar program at the Bamboo Club in Long Beach. All these places are shut down right now during this COVID crisis, so why don't we also talk about his band, Slim Jenkins.
I mean, I remember falling in love with, like, Little Richard, Tutti Frutti as a kid and wanted to sing along.
Yeah.
Are
you in love with it now as an adult? Because when you realized it wasn't cool when you were a teenager and swapped over to your 90s grunge stuff or whatever it was.
It was just those songs that just stuck in me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just make you happy.
Yeah, totally. Just want to dance all the time.
What's one of your favorite songs to sing?
Bobby Darin.
Is Bobby Darin your favorite artist to sing?
I feel like...
Is that like a register thing you feel you guys...
I feel like my cadence and my rhythms match his the most. Yeah.
I understand that because I love singing Neil Diamond.
Nice. Nice.
Because
what's your favorite Neil Diamond song?
My favorite, Cracklin' Rosie.
Cracklin' Rosie.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's yeah. Red, Red Wine.
Oh, mm-hmm. Which yeah. I didn't learn about until after UB40
it's
covered
crazy.
It.
Crazy.
And then I'm all, wait, this is actually an old song?
Yeah.
And they reggaeified it or something?
Yeah.
And then I heard it and I'm like, oh, that's kind of fun.
Why
is
it
Red, Red Wine?
Too.
Is it speak to your future in booze?
It's just a great, well, maybe the same thing, because I remember loving it as a kid.
Yeah.
And realizing it's Neil Diamond's, and it's much sadder if you listen to it.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is true. But my Neil Diamond thing is that I feel like I sing in his register, and he has such a ridiculously low voice. But when I sing in my car, I'm like, I can hit all these notes. They're not hurting
nice.
Me. Sometimes it gets a little hard when it gets too low.
Right.
But, you know, so you and the Bobby Darin, you're just a natural fit.
He's amazing. There's no way I can compete with his level, but fell in love with him, sang a lot of his
Bobby
stuff.
What's your favorite Bobby Darin song to sing?
Some of These Days.
Okay. Because I don't know if I know that one off
yeah.
the top of
Once
my head.
Once Upon a Time. She Loves Me.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. She Needs Me. First one I ever sang was Beyond the Sea.
Mm-hmm. Which is standard. Standard,
but
that one.
Still amazing.
But it's beautiful. Yeah,
yeah.
It's such a great song. Such a great song.
Yeah.
So going back to the Red, Red Wine. it's funny to me that you like that because you then became, I mean, I guess you were already doing the bartending stuff before the band, or was
I
it
started
all
working
around the
my,
same time?
I mean, I've been a bartender at like dive bars before.
Uh-huh.
And then I didn't, I got a job at Smuggler's Cove in 2009.
Yeah. But were you working behind the bar then?
It took a couple years.
Yeah, because I finally got a
Monday
story.
Night shift.
Yes, I seem to remember your story was you were working the door.
Working the door for 6 months. Uh-huh. One of the floor managers took off, started working somewhere else. Mm-hmm. They needed the floor manager, which is basically a bar back that takes the money at the end of the night. But hey, I'll take it. Get behind the bar, learn from some of the masters.
Did you want to learn from some of the masters? Is that why you started working at Smuggler's Cove?
So the owner's name is Martin Cate. Mm-hmm.
Who's a legend.
Legend.
Yeah.
I was his father's personal trainer.
Oh, my God.
We grew up in the same little town of 7,000 people. He was a few blocks away from me. We grew up together, but he was 5 or 6 years older than me. We probably crossed paths at some point. Never knew.
So you were training his dad, and his dad saying, oh, my son's opening a bar.
Yeah, I used to own Forbidden Island, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And I just, get me in. I don't care what it is. I was over being a personal trainer.
Yeah.
So instead, I started working at a bar and started a band, basically. Yeah. Big
Mexico. And her eyes are staring blindly. The road to hell is winding. I can't see where I'm going, what I'm doing. Baby, I don't know. I'm headed 6 feet deep for Mexico. I broke my back for your cheating heart. Your cheating heart that man adored. Well, now you made your bed. Oh,
was Slim Jenkins with 6 Feet Deep or Mexico. And you can buy Slim Jenkins in the usual spots on the Apple Music, etc. And you can also listen to it. So let some of those streaming pennies go into the pockets of some out-of-work bartenders. Also, Justin is the one half, I should say, of a club here in LA called the Panther Club. It's a dance party that used to happen once a month or so, but in quarantine times, it's happening almost weekly. So go onto Facebook and Instagram, look up the Panther Club and follow it, because it's a really fun, actually, virtual dance party, because he's in LA, his partner in DJ Crime is in New Orleans. They get together and they put together a little show with like go-go dancers that are being like satellite in somehow, so no one's in the same room, but it looks like they're in the same room. It's great. You really should check that out, and that's free. So that's the Panther Club. We're going to move on now to our next bartender. That would be Jackson Milgaten of Atomic Liquors in Las Vegas. He's been in many bands, and we're going to talk about one of his bands here and play it for you in a little bit. And right now, let's just talk about what it was like for him as a musician and a bartender in Las Vegas.
Rock and roll thing you remember really getting into?
So the first...
Your gateway drug, as it were.
Yeah. Well, I kind of remember, like, getting into, like, really saccharine pop music before actually getting into
That's actually pretty normal.
Rock and roll stuff. Yeah, which I think that kind of lines me up more with, like, most kids out there.
Yeah.
I remember the first two tapes I ever bought. One of them was Ace of Base, The Sign.
Ooh, wow, okay.
Yeah, and then one of them was the single Michael Jackson. Right, no, it really doesn't. The single that Michael Jackson did for the Free Willy soundtrack.
What was the single for that?
Oh, God, with this 80s butt rock going on in the background, I can hardly think.
Right? But, we'll just look it up later.
Yeah, it'll come to me at some point here. But, yeah, and then... After that, I think the first time I ever heard rock and roll that kind of profoundly hit me and resonated with me in a way where I immediately had to go buy that music was actually Weezer's Blue Album.
Oh, cool.
And I guess no one had ever, because of my background maybe, no one had ever played me any music that had the power and the essence of rock and roll, the brashness and the, I don't know, just that vibe.
Yeah.
But also had lyrics that definitely didn't take themselves seriously and were just kind of out there in a very tongue-in-cheek way.
Yeah.
And something about
just
that.
Fun.
Yeah.
Just like let loose and have fun kind of stuff, basically.
Yeah. So then, you know, from there, I realized that Weezer was just building on a whole world that had come before them, and I started finding out about bands like the Pixies and like Pavement and other bands that had influenced them very much. Yeah. And that was kind of where the rabbit hole started.
Yeah. And then, but the band that your last band had this sort of kind of African aspect to it. How did you guys all find that you had a love of the world kind of sound?
So some of us had come more from a traditional place on that.
Uh-huh.
Particularly my lead guitar player and the lead singer. But they were also coming from, there was common ground between us because we were so into bands like the Talking Heads.
Yeah.
That kind of like appropriated world rhythms into this like modern nerd rock music.
Yeah.
I was also a huge fan of Paul Simon and the work that he did in the 80s on stuff like Graceland and Rhythm of the Saints was had a profound and deep effect on me.
following me around. But I've been so lonely that I hadn't noticed you there.
Chaos, one of Jackson's bands, with a song called Jesus Flag American Fish that you can purchase. Again, if you buy stuff from one of his bands right now, and that's the one that is still pretty out there in the world to purchase, then that's a little extra money that Jackson will get during this time that his bar, Atomic Liquors, in Las Vegas, is closed down for service. We're trying to showcase some of the musicians who've been on the show who have stuff out there that you can buy or contribute to in order to help them make a little extra cash during this COVID crisis when folks are not making any money. The next one I have for you is actually a blog. This is Conrad Cantor, who I interviewed not too long ago. He is one of the part owners of New Orleans Monolito. It's a really, really wonderful spot. I would highly recommend you go there as soon as you are able to. But we talked about all kinds of music, and I'm going to direct you, although he doesn't have any released, he does write for a heavy metal blog that can sometimes give him a little extra cash. So let's talk to Conrad a little bit about music and booze.
I think a big part of the selection is you have to play to a crowd, mm-hmm. meaning if there's three people in, I'm not going to start playing Miami bass. Like, I'll play mm-hmm. more relaxed, you know. But
you have to wait till everybody's rowdy.
But a big part of it for me is I want to play music that I want to hear over a really good speaker system.
Yeah, right.
And it's feeling it. You know, people give me, my metal friends give me shit because I don't ever wear earplug. Like,
oh, earplugs.
Like, it shows. Mm-hmm. And they can hear the music just fine. It's just not as. But yeah. I like to feel.
Yeah.
And I know it's bad for me. But that feeling, I will never give up. Like, I will never.
So is drinking. You run bars.
Right. Exactly.
I just. All in moderation. Right.
I want to feel. Mm-hmm. If I go to a show once a month and it's really loud, like mm-hmm. yeah, maybe when I'm old I won't.
I know, right.
But I just.
I don't have to.
I need to
yet.
Feel that. Mm-hmm. That power. Mm-hmm.
Mm. So when I started doing this podcast, I just found that there were bartenders who had been musicians, who had been DJs and all this. And you, at the beginning, were talking about how you did play music for a little bit. You don't consider yourself a musician. But you at least dallied with playing in bands. And those were those like punk and metal bands that you played in?
So when I was in high school, mm-hmm. There was a couple venues in South Florida. Like, I was actually from Palm Beach. And mm-hmm. There was a Ray's Downtown Blues, mm-hmm. Which was owned by a guy that worked at CBGB's when he was like a kid and moved to South Florida pretty early on. Mm-hmm. He actually works at a dive bar still in Lake Worth, Florida called Harry's Banana Farm. His name's Ray. But he let us book show. Like, if I was 15, he let me walk in there and he pulled out the calendar. And
really?
Yeah, he let us do it. And that was our saving grace as kids because, mm-hmm. you know, we got into the good kind of trouble. We didn't, like, really get into any bad shit, mm-hmm. you know? So, he treated us like adults, and he said, "I'd take a portion of the door, and you can,
like you do."
You know, and he made sure that we had. Usually, it was like bands were touring, a lot of New York, Connecticut, New York hardcore bands, like in the early 2000s, that were doing that whole thing. But and then Church Hills in Miami, the Alley in Miami, you know. So as soon as we started driving, like when
you
we turned 16, we were covering Palm Beach, Broward and Miami-Dade counties, trying to play shows in all three counties throughout high school. And then after Katrina, I actually moved back for about 2 years, and I continued it then.
And you played music again mm-hmm. at that time. And what were you playing?
I was a vocalist, but I helped write a lot of the songs. Like, I learned mm-hmm. how to play guitar, and I'm a bad, but, bad drummer, but I can keep a beat. Like, I can't really, mm-hmm. I couldn't drum for a band, but I like playing drums.
Mm-hmm. You can fill in if somebody needs
yeah,
to.
Yeah, but I was more of a front, definitely a front person. Mm-hmm. But I did a lot of the arrangements, and like, I wasn't the raw, the reason I quit guitar actually, because I took guitar mm-hmm. lessons for a long time as a kid, and violin lessons. And I couldn't write music. Like, I just didn't
have that kind of creativity.
You could play
other people's music.
Yeah, and I didn't want to do that. I got bored. I'd rather just listen to music and enjoy it than just play other people. I could not write music.
That's really interesting.
Those notes did not come to me.
So, well, your creativity, I mean, obviously you're creative because you love all the music, but now you're, you know, you've been running bars and you're crafting cocktails and you're coming up with these cocktails. Yes? I mean.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of, every drink is based on like
so you're ripping
10 drinks, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like, just like a chef would incorporate what's fresh, what's local into things like, knowing the genetic makeup of drinks, it becomes a smaller and smaller world. You know, I mean, there's millions of drinks people have created, but like they all trace their way back to a small hand.
I was gonna say, I think in music and in cocktails and a lot of things, there are a finite number of combinations. You know, and so you see this happen in music all the time, where someone gets upset with someone for stealing their song, which they may or may not have ever heard, and sometimes it's blatant. You can hear it. You can play one song on top of another, and yes, they definitely stole it. But sometimes it's such a stretch that I, as a layperson who love music and probably listen to way more music than a lot of people out there, I'll hear about some controversial thing and listen and be like, dude, I cannot hear it. I cannot tell what the issue is.
A lot of times, too, you can just get high and write a song and not realize that you're writing something in your subconscious. Like, right. I had a
So even though Conrad isn't playing in bands anymore, he does still write for an online magazine called Last Rites. You can look it up at yourlastrites.com. And if you read there, just go give it some hits. That could put some extra change in his tip jar if you are looking to do so. And all you got to do is go read some stuff about metal. Why not learn something about metal? Conrad Cantor is from Manalito in New Orleans. If you are in the area, then you can get cocktails to go. And you can also look them up and see if they've got the GoFundMe thing going, buy merch, etc. It's a wonderful, tiny little spot in New Orleans that we hope is still there when all of this is over. Now let's go back to indie rock. Back in New York, I met someone at a lovely, lovely dive cocktail bar. I'm going to say that because they had great cocktails, but it was divey, and there were weirdos who interrupted our podcast interview several times, but that's part of the charm of the place. His name is Matt Friedlander, and he now is the manager at Grand Banks, which is a seasonal bar on a boat. Not even a boat, it's like a big old yacht in the Hudson River in New York. And if this COVID thing lightens up, then maybe you can go visit this summer. We'll just have to wait and see. Matt Friedlander talking about how he got to New York and his band, The Go Station.
Said, why don't we stop and see NYU?
And he, you said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he gave me this weird look and said, well, why would you want to see that school? And I went, well, it's on the way home. It's a good school. And so we go, we take an admissions tour, and we're walking through Washington Square Park, and it's the summer in Washington Square Park in New York City. So there's skateboarders and people playing guitars and, you know, street percussion, and there's performers, and people are
pretty lively.
And, and I saw, and I never actually confirmed this was him, but I could have sworn to you that I saw David Bowie walking through Washington Square Park. And I remember,
totally possible.
Yeah. And I remember looking around and going, fuck, I'm fucking going to school here. This is where I'm going.
And then your father's tears were of a totally different variety.
Tried to. I wound up for the, I think, maybe third or fourth time in my life lying to my father and telling him that I applied to all those Ivy League schools, and I
didn't get in.
I only applied to University of Miami and NYU. And would just pick random days, spring of my senior year in high school, to go. Yeah, Harvard said no, Yale said no, Columbia said no, NYU said yes. The problem that I found out right before I left Miami to come up to New York is that all those schools that I had quote unquote applied to obviously never cashed his application checks.
I was gonna say.
So his checking balance was not well above, but you know, a couple of hundred or
some
a few hundred.
Some things hadn't gone through.
Mm-hmm. And he asked me about it, and when you catch me in a lie, and you can ask most people about this, I'm terrible at it. So he knew right away, he goes, ah, you never applied to those schools, did you? Well, you better fucking do something with your life.
Oh.
So of course I started a band.
I just see your dad's hopes and dreams just being crushed.
Shattered. Absolutely shattered. You know, I was going to go to law school and be this, you know, high-powered attorney. And it was like, no, there's something happening in the downtown New York City music scene. I kind of want to be a part of it. So, yeah, I'd always been sort of musically inclined. And
and you didn't play any instruments at this point?
No, I've been playing guitar since I was 5 or 6.
Okay.
And then piano since I was 9 or 10.
Oh, wow.
So I found a group of like-minded people, and obviously this was the early 2000s in New York City, you know, if you were in a band and you wore the right jeans and you had a good haircut, you were going to get signed to RCA, because they were grabbing everyone. They were grabbing the Strokes, and they were grabbing Longwave and Stellastar, and it was like, all right, all they got to do is play Mercury Lounge on a Thursday, and we're
done,
golden.
We're signed.
Yeah. That didn't happen. But we were together.
You watched all your friends getting signed. That was like, God damn it.
Whatever. They used to crash on couches just like we did.
Well, I lived in Berkeley in the 90s. So.
Exactly.
And that was my radio station. I went to UC Berkeley. I worked at the UC Berkeley radio station. And so the joke is that my storyline goes, Green Day used to sleep on our couches.
Right.
because, you know, they were like 15 or whatever. And then in the 2000s, when I was working in music publishing, I worked for Warner Chappell, who signed Green Day.
Right.
So then they're coming in, they're seeing me. What are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here?
Love that.
You know?
Love that.
It's like everybody's kind of growing up and shifting all at the same time. So.
It's that weird wave.
So you guys are playing your
so you
got your skinny jeans.
Yeah, we got our skinny jeans, and you know we got the right haircuts, and we're writing the songs, and we're playing in New York City, and we start doing fairly well. You know, we're getting label attention, and we've got great management, and you know at that point, a lot of I think the music scene was for bands that hadn't been signed yet was really pushed by this group of bloggers that were around.
Yeah.
And they really liked us, and you know we
and
did
which
well.
Which band was this?
What's up?
And this was what was this band?
Oh, I was the band was called the Go Station.
This was Go Station.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And you know we were doing okay, but not well enough where I could you know just live off of that.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well I need to find a way to make money. And I'd waited tables in high school, like I think a lot of people did. So I was like, all right, well I'll just find a restaurant gig and do that. So I started working in restaurants. The first two was were Blue Smoke, which is a Danny Myers barbecue restaurant, and Le Cole, which was the restaurant for the French Culinary Institute. And I was serving tables, which was fine. I was making good money.
Yeah.
And I kept, you know, learning more about food and wine pairing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, second level service.
You're getting all fancy while you're
getting
not fancy.
Getting all fancy, yeah, exactly. You know, combing my hair back when I'm at work and then immediately just sort of brushing it back forward for when I go out. And just hanging out on Ludlow Street until 6 o'clock in the morning.
You only needed 2 hours of sleep.
Oh, God, if that.
Yeah, right?
Longer living through science. I found myself working at this restaurant in the West Village called Moss, and it was this very... The chef was going for Michelin stars. Like, you know, the steps of service were super intricate and complex. And, you know, it was a very hushed kind of service and very professional. But there was this guy bartending there, I think 3 or 4 nights a week. And he had, like, a faux hawk and, like, the vest with the tie and the shirt. But just, like, a super cool guy. And he sort of tended to, from at least my view, got away with a lot more than he could. And people would go into this restaurant that served, you know, this amazing tasting menu and just go, like, sit at the bar with him and, like, just snack on some food and just talk with him for hours. And I started to see a lot of parallels between what he was doing and what it was like to be in a band. That guy was TJ Lynch, who
now
owns Mother's Ruin and Loverboy, and he opened up Lowlife in Folly Beach, South Carolina. But he was the first person who was like, oh, being a bartender is kind of like being a rock star. And being a server is kind of like not at all. Just not at all. So I want to fucking learn how to bartend. So I started just sort of, while my band was, you know, in and out of touring and recording, I just started tracking down all these, you know, quote unquote, senseis in New York City and trying to learn from them and just would like... saddle up at the bar at Milk and Honey as often as I could and just watch Sasha Petrosky work and ask him questions and ask him if I could go behind the bar and try stuff and sort of kept making my way up through it. And then, you know, by the time that the band broke up, I had this new skill set and I was bartending in New York and I was working in these good restaurants and, you know, cocktail-worthy destinations.
For the ones that I can't let go. When it all-
That was The Go Station, a band from Matt Friedlander, who is based in New York and is the manager, bar manager, director of Grand Banks, which is a lovely bar on a giant yacht / passenger boat cruiser thing that's usually just parked in the harbor in the Hudson during the course of the summer. And if the world opens up again in the summertime, New York is especially hard hit right now. Maybe you can check it out. If not, you can help Matt out since he is currently unemployed by going online and buying some music from the Go Station. Also, if you jump onto Facebook and look up Matt Friedlander, you can find him because he posts stuff that is open to all from time to time, public postings, and basically he's singing songs for his supper. So he will do a song and then do a donation. If you toss him some bucks, something like that, and request a song from him, he'll donate that money to GoFundMe for other out-of-work bartenders. A really good person. Another really good person that I was fortunate enough to meet and interview is someone, another Los Angeles person, Ramon Rose. He is at Trader Sam's at Disneyland, and Disneyland is closed right now, too. It's a bit unprecedented. All of this is, of course, and we're missing our tiki fix from Disney. But Ramon has actually put out some new music. He does hip-hop under the name Ray Darko, and we're going to talk about that, and we're going to hear his latest track that he appears on, because you can buy stuff from Ray Darko as well.
I want to hear about the hip-hop artist.
Yeah.
When did you get started doing that?
I started writing at like 13 years old.
Really?
Just writing music, writing.
And you were in San Diego. Talking about you grew up in San Diego.
Yeah, I would just be in school just writing music.
What was inspiring you to write music in San Diego when you were like 13 years old? I'm from there. I know it's not a terribly inspirational town music-wise.
Yeah.
Well, but in the 2000s, it was better.
A little bit, yeah. My my background was a little shaky. So like growing up, like I would only listen to music just to like get away from everything.
Escapist.
Yeah, yeah. And my getaway was hip hop. And what I used to listen to Eminem like all the time, and Ludacris. Ludacris was like my, I don't know why I liked him so much.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's almost like party.
Yeah, legit, but I loved him. And my dad found like his word of mouth CD in my CD player, and he listened to like the first thing, and the first song is Ridiculous, and he snapped it in half. And like, that's when I fell in love with hip hop. Like I was like, how is this emotion coming out, you know?
Oh my God. So you're on SoundCloud.
Yeah, I'm on SoundCloud.
But are you an emo rapper guy?
No.
Are you one of these SoundCloud artist guys?
No.
I mean, you're a SoundCloud artist, but I know there's that whole, lo-fi thing. You know,
lo-fi.
Yeah.
But my producer, like my main producer does a lot of lo-fi stuff as well. But SoundCloud is the easiest way to get,
music
out
there,
you know. But now I have music on iTunes and all streaming platforms.
So what's your music like? Because I've never heard it.
My music.
Of course, I'm going to expect a track from you to put at the end of this podcast.
100%. Okay. Yeah, definitely. what I like is just truth in all of my music. Mm-hmm. Like my music, I just want to say what I've been through. It's either what I've been through, what I believe, or what like I want to achieve, you know?
Yeah.
I have a lot of Kendrick influences, but
you've been writing for so long that you have pre-Kendrick influences.
Yeah, definitely. You know? Like my songs are very, like so much. Like I have singing records.
That's awesome.
I have trap records.
And under your name?
Yeah,
all under Ray Darko?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
All under my name. And
I think
and most of my music like has no features and it's all like independent. So, yeah.
Have you ever, now I know you through the bartending world, and more specifically through the tiki world and everything. And last summer, I think, was the first time I actually got to try a drink that you were able to create. I know, you know, you work at Trader Sam's.
Yep.
Trader Sam's is a Disney property, so there are some things that are sort of dictated as what you can and cannot do.
Definitely.
Well, most places are like that, but Disney's very specific about certain things. But I know that the bartenders there often have their own kind of secret menus, like, I'll make you a little something and all of this. First time I ever tried one of yours was your cocoa drink, which I'm forgetting what it was called right now. It's so cute, though. You had the orange rind with the little marigolds.
Yeah, no, definitely.
The drink inspired by the movie Coco.
Yeah, I don't even know what it's called. That's hilarious.
But I wondered if you ever had the opportunity to do any cocktails based on some of the songs that you like. Have you ever had that opportunity?
Yeah, 100%. There's a drink that I make right now that I love making. It's called I Love It When You Call Me Big Pot Still. That's made with pot still gold rum. So I have that.
Oh my God, I almost choked on my water.
I have a drink called The Real Gin Shady. That's a gin-based drink. So it's Hendrick's Gin and OFTD rum with some passion fruit and lime.
I love that OFTD rum.
Right. It's amazing.
Oh, cool. I'm glad you said that.
Yeah, so definitely. I get to, which is amazing. Like
The Real Gin Shady.
I think this is the only place on property where we can create as much as we can.
Yeah. Darker. Different strokes for these different folks. I like to keep the peace of pacifist unless your man's invoked. Yeah. I don't trust anything another man has spoke. Always numb to one side like your story had a stroke. What a joke. You can't have an open mind. These girls have shut down friends cause another person has a broken sign. What's the matter? Ain't your soul aligned? Know the same girl on the weekend as a coke in line. Prime time, it's a Friday night while memories pass us by like they highway lights. Leaving arguments at home, causing driveway fights. No person can hold me back, but my chain's mine. I stay in life, but every morning it's a blank canvas. It's up to you if at the end it's good enough to hang it. Today you be positive and drop your bad habits. Or be like Drake, only showing love to your mattress. Matter of fact, ain't no facts in our matter. Is there purpose to this life or just rungs in a ladder? Is my voice making a difference or it's just more chatter? But either way on my canvas, man splatter, man hatter, Eve's Adam. Does he choose his passion or bandana? Your hands up or your stand up. This ain't the end, lil' homie, so don't panic.
I don't wanna live no more. I don't wanna feel your pain. I can just feel you lose your soul over again, okay? I don't wanna live no more. I don't wanna feel your pain. I can just feel you lose your soul over again.
These rappers don't really rap about shit. Killing their own brothers and fucking another's bitch. Fuck going to college, worry about getting rich. But sometimes I like to wonder on what they actually did. Oh, is it fiction? Nobody wants to talk about addiction.
Talk about it.
Nobody wants to talk about the problems.
Talk about it.
But if we brush them off, we can't solve them. But maybe that's the point. Go ahead and numb yourself. Take a puff from joint. Pour that dirty in your Sprite. Double cup anoint. Got a bunch of drones rapping. Got me so annoyed. Who am I to judge? Always hold a grudge. Kill my pain with drugs. Tequila's my gun. Since 13, shooting just to have fun. And at 14, blacking out with coke and rum. I blame the shooting, not the weapon. If you ain't feeling service, you blame the word, I blame the reverend. If you don't like the answer, you change yourself or change the question. Shit, it's still the same message.
Yep.
It's still the same message. Manhattan, Eve's Adam. Does he choose his passion or bandana? Your hands up or your stand up. This ain't the end, lil' homie, so don't panic.
I don't wanna live no more. I don't wanna feel your pain. I can just feel you lose your soul over again.
That was Ray Darko, a.k.a. Ramon Ross, who some of us may know from Trader Sam's at Disneyland, but many other people know him as Ray Darko. He has a lot of music on the internet available to buy, so if you are looking to help an out-of-work bartender and you like hip-hop, I would highly recommend Ray Darko. To me, he's got that old school conscious vibe, which I appreciate because he's got a lot to say and is very smart and polite almost about saying it. So I'm totally down with that. So Ray Darko, go look him up and get yourself some new music. That track that we just heard was called Different Strokes by Calcutta featuring Ray Darko, and it's brand new. It just came out last March and is available on Apple Music. So just a reminder to everyone, thanks for listening through all of this, but since we are living in this time of health crisis with so many businesses shut down and so many people out there looking for a way to pay the rent or buy groceries, I'm trying to do what I can to help out some of our past guests, bartenders, with other means of income, even if it's just a little bit. Every little bit helps right now. So go online, look up your favorite bar, donate to their GoFundMe if you have the means to do so. If you live in a neighborhood and you want to support something that is doing takeout, do that too if you are able to. And hopefully we will still have some of these wonderful places when this health crisis lifts. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com. And also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thank you for tuning in to our barroom chats on Music and Booze with Mo. For more info about today's guest, or if you want to connect with me, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. While you're there, give the show a rating and a review. It really helps to get the word out. If you want to hear the playlists our guests have curated, search SheBMO on Spotify, SHEBMO. Find pictures of the interviewees and the cool stuff they create on the Music and Booze with Mo Instagram account. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.